Good to see all of you guys, and we do have a lot of exciting things coming up here in the next few weeks. I just want to quickly remind all of the men, this Thursday at 6:30 p.m. right here in this very space, we have our battle briefing. It's going to be a great opportunity for us as guys just to get together, worship the Lord, and hear an encouraging message from Pastor Tim. So I want to invite you to that special event Thursday at 6:30. Well, it's Memorial Day weekend, as you can tell by the gaps in the seating around you. We've got people out enjoying the good weather, doing all kinds of activities, camping and stuff like that. But the reason that we celebrate this weekend is because of the sacrifice and service of countless men and women who've made possible the freedoms that we enjoy here in America. So we want to pause for just a moment and honor any veterans or active duty military personnel that might be here today. If you would stand and just allow us to honor you this morning. Got a couple? Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Yeah, thank you, guys. Thank you for your service. Well, obviously, Pastor Tim is away. Pastor Roger is away. And we haven't burned the building down yet, right, B? So. But it's my privilege to bring the word this morning. Last week, Pastor Tim kicked off our summer series called Parables, and he unpacked for us a story from Matthew chapter 13, the treasure chest of blessings that we have in Jesus, who is our true treasure. Whew, say that fast five times. True treasure. Whew. Today, we're going to look at another parable that Jesus taught, also recorded by Matthew, that's in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22. So if you want to quickly get your Bible or your device headed in that direction. In the parable that we're going to look at, Jesus uses a wedding feast or like a wedding reception as the backdrop for the things that he's trying to communicate to his audience. How many of you enjoy weddings? You like going to weddings? Okay, a few of you brave souls. Anybody keep up with the royal wedding this past weekend, Harry and What's-Her-Face or whatever. But it got me thinking about our wedding. And I think we've got a slide there. Yeah. Look. Man, I missed that. Oh, man, my wife robbed the cradle. Look at me. My goodness. She is beautiful. My goodness. But and the cake wasn't bad either. I remember just some different things about our reception. It was fun to see, you know, all the people that had come to the wedding. My face hurt from smiling. And if you have that experience where you just kind of get locked into this pose, hi, hey, thanks for, you know, like that. It was a great event. It was cool that people actually showed up too. But Matthew's Gospel, 22nd chapter, beginning at verse 1, Jesus spoke to them in parables again, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened calf have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find, both good and bad.' And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. 'Friend,' he asked, 'how did you get in here without wedding clothes?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'" Kind of an interesting twist on a wedding story. There's a lot going on here. So I'm going to quickly just kind of set this up for us. The chief priests and the teachers of the law had come to challenge the authority of Jesus. And you can see a number of exchanges like this between Jesus and the teachers of the law, the Pharisees, Sadducees, all those guys, all throughout the Gospels. And in this particular instance, Jesus responds to his detractors by teaching three parables in succession, and this is the third parable in that series of three. And the king, God, he sends out an invitation to a group of people, and Jesus here is talking about the nation of Israel, asking them to attend the wedding feast for his son. The guests refuse to attend, and subsequently judgment comes on those who refuse the invite. Well, why is that important? Why would he talk about that? In the ancient Near East, a wedding feast was like this week-long party, this huge celebration that took place usually in the home of the groom, and it was one of the greatest events in family life. Refusal of an invitation to attend such an event was a huge, huge insult. And in this case, obviously brought a response from the king that was pretty severe. What we have is Jesus using this parable to show that throughout the centuries of history that's recorded in the Bible, God was pursuing Israel. He was pursuing a relationship with Israel. And as many of you know, Israel would follow God for a period of time, then reject him because they were, well, let's face it, they were just selfish and fickle and wanted to do their own thing. So God would send messengers to the nation of Israel, different people, prophets, and they would essentially just let Israel know, say, hey, God really likes you. And he wants to live in community and relationship with you. And it's pretty simple. In order to live in this beautiful relationship, just follow him. Follow him. And much of the time, like we read in Matthew's gospel, the recipients of the messages would say, nah, we're good. No thanks. And would mistreat the messengers that God sent to them or kill them. And consequently, God would bring judgment in an attempt to get Israel to repent and turn back into walking in relationship with him. And you see this cycle over and over and over again all throughout the Old Testament. Well, Jesus here, he's making a historical connection between how the nation of Israel rejected God's invitation to enter into relationship with him centuries before, and the reaction of the chief priests and the religious leaders toward him. And he's saying, you guys, like your ancestors, are perpetuating the cycle of rejection of God and his messenger. And the one reason that Jesus did this was to show there was a difference between the Old Testament and the new reality of God's kingdom. In the Old Testament, God interacted with the community as a whole through his representatives, the priests and the prophets. But in the new reality of the kingdom of God, each individual can interact with God personally without the need for a priest or a go-between. And when Jesus came into the world, he opened the way for that to happen. And the difference being that the emphasis is placed on the responsibility of the individual to accept the invitation to step into this new reality of God's kingdom. Jesus says to the religious leaders, because you're just continuing in this cycle of rejecting God, God is going to initiate a new protocol. And in verses 8 through 10 there in Matthew chapter 22, this new protocol comes in the form of a universal mission to call everyone into God's kingdom. Everybody's invited to come in to God's family. And the king tells his servants, go out and get them all, the good, the bad, the ugly, everybody. Bring them in. And in the eyes of the religious leaders, this was a pretty big slap in the face because they saw themselves as the chosen ones. They saw themselves as special. And Jesus is saying, because you, the sons of Israel, have refused this invitation to receive God, to receive his son, everybody now, Greeks, Jews, Romans, gypsies, tramps, and thieves, everybody, all y'all are invited to come to the table. And then in verses 11 through 14, there's this interesting little piece of the story. All the guests have arrived. The host is working the crowd, going from table to table, you know, saying hi to people. And notices there's one guy who's not properly dressed. Now, this is important because everybody was expected to dress up. There was a dressed code for the wedding feast. And this guy, for whatever reason, comes in his street clothes. And it was seen as an act of disrespect and again was met with a swift response where he was ejected from the wedding hall. And the point that Jesus is trying to make here, he's saying, just because you receive the invitation, it doesn't guarantee you a seat at the table. Jesus says this to the religious leaders again because they held themselves in pretty high esteem. They were the religious leaders, after all. They liked the recognition that their position afforded them and that they received in the community as they would walk throughout the community. People would pay homage to them and bow, you know, and hold them in high esteem. And Jesus is calling out this attitude in the religious leader. He's saying, you guys, there's a new sheriff in town. You can't just show up and presume that your family's membership in the club is going to guarantee your reservation. God is calling each person to live according to the standards of this new kingdom reality, and refusal to do so disqualifies you from participation. So, what does this little history lesson have to do with you and me? Well, I'm glad that you asked. Matthew is trying to help us see some things here. He's trying to help us see, first and foremost, that God loves us. God loves us, and his desire and his design has always been to have relationship with his creation, with you and me. And that may not be new news to you, but like we sang just a few minutes ago, he is relentless in his pursuit of us. That's the story of the Bible. That's what Jesus is trying to convey in this parable, that God is calling us. He's calling each one of us to accept this invitation. And we see that demonstrated all throughout Scripture, but beautifully in a portion that's familiar to, I'm sure, to most of us from John's Gospel in the 3rd chapter. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever might believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. God is recklessly, relentlessly pursuing us because he loves us and he desires to have relationship with us. And he's inviting everyone into that relationship because his heart is for us. And he has such an amazing plan and a purpose and a destiny for us that he's inviting us into because he wants to be with us, to experience the life that he's created for us. So our first step in response to what we've read today is to accept the invitation. Now, maybe you're already there. So once we've accepted the invitation, we now have the responsibility to extend the invitation. And this is where it gets a little trickier for us. In verses 8 through 10, Matthew chapter 22, he said to his servants, "The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find." So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. Jesus is again, he's saying, God has turned this into a universal mission. Exclude no one. Call the entire world to the banquet. Tell them that they're invited into relationship with me. Again, Matthew shows us this heart of God in the 28th chapter. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Not some nations, all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. This is where we step into the story. This is where we have the opportunity to take on the role of the servants from the parable. You and I, we're called to go to the street corners. You and I are called to go to places where we might not normally go and invite anyone that we can find. And I want you to take note here. He says, invite all the people. The good and the bad. And again, the language here is conveying the heart of God for humanity. His desire is for us. So much so that his grace will allow anyone to come into this relationship. And we're called to go out and invite anyone that we can find. And this is where we need God's help, okay? And I'm the first one to step up and say that I need God's help to see people the way that he sees them. Because I'm guilty of the tendency of judging the book by its cover. To look at appearances and behaviors and pass judgment. And when we do this, we deem people worthy or unworthy of an invitation into the love and grace of Jesus Christ. And we've got to remember that it's not up to us to judge anyone for any reason. All are worthy of invitation. All. And guys and gals, we need to figure out how to get comfortable with this. We need to figure out how to get comfortable with this, because Jesus is going to bring people into our lives and into his kingdom reality that we've forgotten belong to him. People that perhaps we wrote off years ago. People that we pass over without a moment's hesitation because they don't fit our criteria of what's acceptable. It's quiet in here. I'm going to take this opportunity to pause. Forgive me. God wants all humanity to know that they're invited. They're invited to come into relationship with him, and he wants to use you and me to extend that invitation. And so, just so we're clear, this is not about growing our church, okay? We definitely want to see people come and come to know Jesus and come and be discipled. This isn't about growing the church. This is about growing our hearts. This is about asking God to enlarge my capacity for love, to love, to see people around me who desperately need to know that they're invited. So I put this to you. Who can you invite? Who can you invite? Neighbors, coworkers, sure, people that are easy to access, but how far will you go? How far will you go? What's the street corner that you avoid, metaphorically or literally? You know, sometimes it's just as simple as looking over the back fence and engaging with our neighbors, but it begins when we start to take the great commandment seriously. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. As yourself. Not superficially waving to them periodically as they drive by. Engaging with them. Getting to know them. Getting to know what's their story. What's their story? And I know that can be intimidating, but we've got to overcome our timidity and even our fear of engaging with people. Guys and gals, the hour is late. Jesus is coming back, and he's put it to us to extend the invitation. And if fear is an issue that you deal with, the Apostle Peter gives us some advice. From 1 Peter 3:13, and I apologize, I don't have a slide for this, but 1 Peter 3:13 says, "Who's going to harm you if you're eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord, and always be prepared to give an answer to anyone and everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." How many people know that you have hope? Let's start there. Man, you could hear a pin drop in this place. How many people know that you have hope? In order to extend the invitation, we've got to engage with our community. And we can break through the barrier of our fear with the help of the Holy Spirit as he enables us to extend that invitation. Simple as conversation. Okay. Third and final thing that this parable is showing us, that God has called each of us to live like we're chosen. He's called us to live like our chosen, and this is from verse 11, Matthew 22, and on into verse 14. We've got this random wedding guest, again, that was inappropriately attired. And some scholars have said that this picture indicates that the invitation comes with expectations. And now the skeptic says, "Aha! I knew there was a catch." All right, hold your water. The invitation does come with expectations. However, the initial expectations are met in Jesus Christ. God meets the primary requirements that the invitation demands through Jesus' death on the cross. Jesus paid the price for all of us to be put in right standing with God. The catch is we've got to choose to accept the invitation of salvation through Jesus. So God is calling all. And he's provided a way for everyone to get in the door. But as the parable seems to indicate, this does not excuse the individual from the responsibility of living in a way that's consistent with God's character and his standards. This is where divinity and humanity collide. We're quick to accept the invitation, but too often, guys and gals, we want to live for God on our own terms. And that is not how it works. Jesus is saying through this illustration of the guy who was underdressed and got thrown out, he's saying we're all called to live holy lives because God is holy and he calls us to be examples of his character and his nature. But people are reluctant to take responsibility to live the kind of life God is calling us to live. We avoid absolutes. We like to live in the gray areas because it gives us space to gratify our selfish desires and feel completely justified in doing so. We build our own convenient truth in order to craft a reality in which we're excused from the biblical standard of living because we deserve to be happy. However, ignoring or trying to alter the standard does not change the fact that it exists. Like when I drive. Ignoring the standard set by the speed limit does not change the fact that it exists, as the officer was quick to remind me the last time I got pulled over. My right foot's a little heavier than my left one. It just kind of happens. But this mindset is so pervasive in our culture. People inside the church, as well as outside, will only follow God to a certain point. Because at one time or another, following God ultimately interferes with our happiness or becomes inconvenient. And consequently, we find ourselves occupying a seat, but in the reality, we're on the outside of the banquet hall looking in. You following me? So another thing that we can see from this part of the parable is God is inviting the insiders to come inside. The people that think they're in, the Pharisees, you and me, he's calling us to come inside. He's calling us to come deeper into relationship with him. He's saying, don't be satisfied for that surface level interaction. Come, walk with me. God's heart is for us, and he's calling us, inviting us into the reality of his kingdom and his family because he wants us there. Do you get that? He wants you there. And God's challenging us to walk more closely with him and live according to his standards because ultimately it's worth the effort. Like we saw last week, the blessings of following Jesus far outweigh the momentary satisfaction that pleasure, possessions, or achievements provide. So the question becomes, will you live like you're chosen? And if you're not, what do you need to do to step in to that relationship to a greater degree? I'm going to invite the worship team to come forward. And perhaps the idea of accepting an invitation to come into relationship with God through Jesus Christ is new to you. And I want to just tell you that it just begins with a simple prayer. And a prayer is just talking to God like I'm talking to you right now. Just saying, Lord, forgive me for living my life apart from you. Come into my life and help me enter into this relationship with you through Jesus who died and who rose from the dead so that I can have new life. It's just as simple as that. And if you have not prayed a prayer like that, if you've not committed your life to following Jesus and come into that relationship that God's inviting you to, as we play the songs, the worship team plays and leads us in this song, I invite you to accept that invitation and step in to that relationship and that new life that God is calling you to. And for the rest of us, I want to invite you as we enter into this worship song to respond to the Holy Spirit's prompting in your heart. And you can come forward, you can kneel where you are, you can stand responding to the Holy Spirit's prompting. Maybe you're thinking about those people that you need to extend the invitation to. Maybe God's been dropping the name of a person that you haven't talked to in years, saying you need to give them a call. You need to reach out to them and extend the olive branch. Maybe there's a relationship that was severed and you need to begin to do some repair to open that door once again. Or maybe you're in that place where the standards that you're living by are less than what God has called you to, and you know it, and you just, you know what, I need to make some changes. I need to step into this relationship in a deeper way. And if that any of those things apply to you, just encourage you as we sing to respond to the voice of the Holy Spirit.